What is up, everybody? It is Monday night. We are barking, and it's after dark. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Jake Roos. And disclaimer right off the top, this is a deeply unserious show, and we are not going to talk much Georgia football today, even though we are talking with Smothering Coverage's Barrett Salee. Listen, formerly of CBS. I mean, this the man does XM College Sports Radio. He is a columnist with Outkick. I mean, he does so much, and he's knowledgeable about the sport of college football. But we're here to get knowledgeable about him and his journey, his story. We'll probably talk a little college football too. But Roos, what's up with you, man?
Man, been quiet. I got to tell you, it's kind of a lazy week. Normal stuff. Had my dad was in town last week. Great to hang with him. I think we talked about that last week. So it was really good to spend time with Pop. And, you know, now that he's gone, I've drank a little bit less beer and, you know, gotten the house back in order. We tend to have a good time when we get together. So good to see Pop, but good to be back in the old routine as well.
Well, the way you said now that he's gone, he's alive.
he is Chuck still Roos, with us, yes.
Chuck Roos is still with us. Dad's not dead. But Chuck is still with us. So, good dude.
What about you, buddy?
I'm about 90% sure everybody watching this show right now would like to hang out with Chuck Roos. Good hang, Chuck Roos is. I'm good, man. I was in traffic court this morning. We'll get to that later on in the show after we get through talking to Barrett. You know, saw some weird things in traffic court today, smelled some weird things too. You know, covering a kind of a up and down weekend for Georgia, with Jared Curtis committing on Sunday, and then you know, dealing with all of the bad things that happened Jared Curtis on Saturday and all the bad things that happened on Sunday, and still working on all that. But I can't complain, man. Just getting ready for spring break with the kids. Going to take them to Disney and do all that stuff and goof off. So can't wait. Let's get Barrett on here, though. Let him class the place up a little bit because, you know, me and you aren't doing much for that. What's going on, Barrett? How are you, buddy?
Class the place up. I don't know if I can class any place up.
Guys. Everybody what's going does. On? Everybody does. After me and Roos get through making it filthy, we have to bring whoever's on to make it look a little better.
Somewhat safe for work, like not totally not safe for work, but just a little bit.
We do our best to make it not safe for work if we can. Try to run as many listeners off as possible. We had to add that disclaimer at the top because we were getting such hateful messages about this show sucks. There's no Georgia football talk. We're like, duh.
We never told you there would be,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. We never said
there would be.
We get tired of talking about Georgia football a little bit.
Well, it's funny because you mentioned that, and I always go back to a line from Jason Lee from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. They're yelling at you because that's what the internet's for, slandering others anonymously.
Oh, man, we do not want to go down the Jay and Silent Bob rabbit hole. There's so
Dude,
much.
It's on Amazon. I watched it 2 weeks ago, and it's timeless. It never fails. It is so, so good.
I remember the first time I watched that. I was probably, it was like late high school, maybe early college. And I saw it and I've never laughed so hard in my life. It was the most uniquely funny thing I had ever seen. It was unbelievable.
Full disclosure, I've never seen any of those films.
Oh my God. Me and Jason.
Mutt, all right, Jake, crazy. Homework after the show, homework, stay up late. It's on Amazon.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you need that one, Roos. You got to get that. You got to get some Jay and Silent Bob.
I think it would be kind of in my wheelhouse too. I think it would be kind of my
humor. It totally would be 100%. So Barrett, you recently, you know, kind of had a change of a little bit of alteration in the career. What are you up to these days?
Yeah, I mean, I restarted college football Smothered and Covered. It was, I don't know if you guys remember, but back in 16 through 18, I had SEC Smothered and Covered, and through no faults of my own, for reasons that I'm still kind of bitter about and don't really necessarily need to get into, but I was forced to give it up. It was wildly successful. Couldn't find the RSS feed for it, so have to build it back up from scratch. So doing that, it's on YouTube, it's on Rumble, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that stuff. So enjoying doing that, enjoying being my own boss for that. Columnist for Outkick, covering college football as well. And spoiler alert, this is what we call a tease. Ooh. In this business. Ooh. You might be hearing something else, another project, either late Tuesday night or early Wednesday morning. Maybe right. Outside of the college football realm, but in the sports realm.
Okay.
Very nice.
You might start a pickleball OnlyFans channel. That's what we're here.
Yeah. You might be wearing some gear right now above your eyes that.
Well, you know.
Look at Bark After Dark getting a little exclusive behind the scenes.
based on what I read on Twitter, I expect totally unbiased analysis from you when it comes to the Braves. Just like myself.
Completely above board, like totally professional.
I had to stop tweeting about the Braves on Twitter. I was catching way too much flack for my knee jerk reactions.
I tell you what, Braves Twitter and Vol Twitter. And look, I love the Braves. Braves Twitter and Vol Twitter are like real close to each other.
That's great.
Now, Barrett, take us back a little bit, man. We always kind of start off with all of our guests from the beginning. And, you know, what's your background? Where do you come from? How do you become, you know, the Barrett Salee, the guy, you know, everybody knows when it comes to college football, but there's a backstory there. What is it?
Yeah, well, I went to Auburn. Everybody thinks I went to Georgia and root for Georgia, but I didn't. I went to and rooted for its rival. So I worked in media relations there, got like my toe dipped in the water of media, got to know a lot of different people. And so after that, went to Fox Sports, still got to know even more people, did Braves, did Falcons, all that stuff, college football as well. Eventually got out of the industry for a little while. Did some business stuff. The recession was the recession, and decided to get back into it, working for Pete Futek, and did college football news for 4 years. And then Bleacher Report hired full-time people and went there for 4 years and then 7 at CBS. And so, yeah, here I am. You know, I think one of the things that I tried to be is honest. I'm not trying to be like, I'll have takes on stuff. I mean, you guys know, you deal with it on your message boards, people freaking out about things I say. I'm like, look, I'll be honest. I don't want to, you know, try to blow smoke up anybody. I just, you know, I have takes. I have strong. I have weak. I try to be real and try to be fun. And, you know, I always go by the mantra, like, these are sports. I know college football, like, people live and die by it. It really is not that serious in the grand scheme of things. In the moment, sometimes it is, but it's supposed to be fun.
Yeah. Where are you from originally, though?
I'm from here. I went to Wheeler High School. I'm from Atlanta. Oh, okay. I am a lifer in, like, there's not many of us that are like lifers in Georgia, but I'm 43. I went to Wheeler High School. I actually moved from Buckhead to Marietta in 1984 when literally it was farmland outside of 285. Yeah. Like, we moved, and honestly, my house, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Atlanta, it was right next to OK Cafe in 1984, which, moving to East Cobb, and I was, you know, right on the border. I was like right near the Soap Creek recreation area. It's literally 5 miles away. And people told my parents, why the hell are you moving out to the boonies? Like, it's literally 5 miles away. But it was fun being out there. I used to race motocross, and I had a 50 when I was 5 and 6, 7 years old. And when all those neighborhoods were getting built, I was tearing up all the dirt and all the foundations. And we'd get looks from these contractors like, God, you idiot kids, please stop doing this. You're absolutely destroying the work we did yesterday. And we didn't care. It was fun.
It's definitely not the boonies anymore. There's no question about that. And it's funny. My wife grew up and she's kind of grew up half in East Cobb, half in West Cobb, ended up going to McEachern. Her sisters went to Hillgrove. They live over in Powder Springs. And you go out there and you can still see remnants. Like, it, there'll be like, yeah, housing development, horse farm, housing development, you know, like, I mean, and you're sitting there in traffic, you're watching all these horses run around, you're sitting there in traffic on Barrett Parkway, and you're like, or Macklin, and you're like, this doesn't fit. Like, what happened here?
Yeah. Right. It's funny. We live in a giant neighborhood in Smyrna, right? And it's between Cooper Lake and Pebblebrook. There's like 1,000 homes in here, right? And then outside on Cooper Lake, about basically like a half mile from the main entrance to our neighborhood, there's a horse farm being built. And I'm like, being redone. It was like a, you know, an equestrian place that's been there for 40 years. And we're like, this is like what it used to be, right? It's what it used to be. And I love they rebranded. Like, this is now a luxury equestrian center. I'm like, where are the run down equestrian centers? Did I miss those?
Yeah, yeah. Equestrian, typically a very unluxurious sport throughout history.
Right, right. You know, I've been to many a shady equestrian center.
Barrett, you mentioned, you know, the Auburn background, but you cover a little bit of everything, man. And we were talking about, you know, kind of Vol Twitter and your Twitter presence, you know, kind of coming into this. I'm curious, man, the interactions that you get. You made a point to mention Vol Twitter. Of the guys that you get to interact with, which fan base really does stand out to you the most? Is it the Vols?
Yeah, it's the Vols because they take pride in it, right? Like, I think they look at what they did on Chiano Sunday, and I was behind them on Chiano Sunday. I think it was just me and Andy Staples were defending them, and that was like it. But they take pride in that. Like, that just accelerated it, and they realized they had that power, right? And look, that's fun. That's cool. I mean, they have, I think, a core group of people in Vol Twitter that will interact. And I'm not talking about like the fans. I'm talking about like the media folks. They accept that and embrace that. And it's good for business. Like, it's good for everybody. So yeah, I mean, I love Vol Twitter. I tell you who is very underrated, and that's Arkansas Twitter. Mm. Like, those folks can internet very good. They are really good. And I tell you, one time, I don't know how this happened. Rutgers got mad at me. Like, I honestly have no friggin' clue what I did to Rutgers. Those dudes are aggressive, man.
Wise guys.
And I guess it's like being Jersey, but man, they are brutal.
Yeah. You don't want to end up in the Pine Barrens, dude. I know that.
It's true. There's
a Russian man running around there that's never been captured, apparently. If you watch The Sopranos, but it's. What about, you know, your career is, you know, obviously you've had a really cool journey and, you know, like us wasn't in, you know, you were in it, then you weren't, we were never in it and started out not being in it and then found a way to get in. So as you've kind of climbed up the ranks and everything, you've also had some struggles, some health struggles and things like that. So can you tell us kind of what went down with your, you know, your kind of health scare a few years back and kind of what you're doing now? To kind of raise awareness for it.
Yeah. I mean, for those that don't have epilepsy, I didn't know I had epilepsy. My first seizure was in September of 17, the beginning of the football season. And I was working out in my neighborhood gym. It's like a hotel type gym, in my neighborhood, and just fell out. And next thing I knew, I was in an ambulance. My wife had no idea how to get to me. We actually talked about this here at night, that the fireman came to the door, and, you know, she thought that I was dead. 'Cause like, that's how people get told that, you know? So yeah, had that, got put on a medicine that was supposed to prevent it. It's called Keppra. Got off of it because my doctor told me to. The next day I had another one, got put on different medicines, whatever. And then, in 2020, right before COVID, I actually had a seizure on a ski lift in Big Sky, Montana. Oh, and that obviously is not a good place to have a seizure. But it was in one of those that had like ski lifts. It was like six people that had like roller coaster seats and like a windshield and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I'm good now. I actually had to take my rescue medicine last Friday because I kind of felt one coming on. But, you know, it's interesting because I talked to my neurologist. I had a neurologist appointment 3-4 weeks ago. And, you know, we started talking about like why this went down. And he said, you know, you can see on an EEG, like they put all these things and you look like the Hellraiser and stuff like that. And most of the time you can't see what causes seizures and what causes epilepsy. They can for mine. And my neurologist was like, yeah, usually this kind of thing comes on when you're 18 to 22 and you don't take care of yourself and you don't get any sleep and you drink too much. And I was like, dude, I went to Auburn. I didn't sleep and I drank a ton. Like, why did it come up when I was 37? You know, so, you know, I'm doing good now. Good medicine. My brother-in-law owns a CBD store, so he helps me out with that stuff too. You know, and that stuff, you know, I know some people think it's snake oil sales, whatever. It really does work in my case. So, you know, doing that. And then, you know, I try to raise money for Georgia Epilepsy, Epilepsy Center of Georgia. Do a Magnolia Run. There's a 5K called the Magnolia Run. They do that in the summer. So, you know, I try to do as much as I can to raise awareness because, you know, it's interesting. You know, you can't have a license for 6 months after you have a seizure, which sucks. I mean, when you don't have a license and you can't drive because it's a felony, it changes your mindset. So there are a lot of people struggling out there with it. And, you know, it's one of those things where a lot of people actually have it, but just never get to the threshold where they shut down. So I try to encourage people to at least go see their neurologist. If something feels weird and you think you might be in a situation where the world's spinning, or it's probably epilepsy, because 1 in 10 people have it, and a lot of them don't know it at all. So just take care of yourself. And, you know, I think that's something that for us, you know, getting sleep and stress and all that other stuff with kids and jobs and unorthodox hours, it's sometimes hard to do.
Yeah, I'm curious. I, you know, just for the sake of awareness and honestly for my own curiosity in case, you mentioned the feeling of having it come on. And I'm just curious, is it possible even to describe that? Or is it a little kind of, you just kind of know thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting for me, and it's not the same for everybody, but I have grand mal seizures, which I think for most people, you know, the ones you see on TV, like that's the ones I have. For me, it's the world starts like not shaking, but it starts kind of going like this. And then I kind of stop, and then like I'll start again. And it's almost like a computer glitch, right? And actually, when the Georgia Florida game 2 years ago, I was having them. I was working at CBS, and I told my editor, I was like, look, I got to go to sleep. I got to take my rescue medicine because something's happening. So it's almost like, you know, think of your brain as like a computer, right? When I have a grand mal seizure, like the whole thing shuts down. Like it just completely crashes. When I have auras, it's kind of like just a glitch, you know, and then I start feeling like not kind of nauseous, but like higher up sort of. And the last few times I've found myself kind of wandering around aimlessly. And so Friday, you know, I kind of had some of that, and I started wandering around a little aimlessly, and I was kind of, I don't know if you said, have you seen Bruce Pearl pray before games where he's kind of hunched over and has his hands on the bench? Like, that's kind of how it was like. And I was like, this is not good. My wife wasn't there. And so I had her come back home, because the rescue medicine that I have to take is like, it's like a shot up your nose, and it's essentially mainlining Valium, and it goes all the way back and knocks me off my feet, and tears come rolling out, and I have to squeeze something really hard. And, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's almost like a little pit of nausea, but a different kind. And your brain just kind of starts feeling a little funky. And sometimes you just have glitches, like where Georgia Florida game, for an example, I'd watch a play. Like, let's just say it was Stetson Bennett was there. So let's say Stetson Bennett threw a curl, right? He'd throw a curl, and then I'd forget how the receiver got there. Like, I'd forget. I'd remember Bennett throwing it. I'd see the next play, but then I'd be like, well, how the hell did this happen? And so that's kind of when I knew something was up.
Wow. Well, I'm sure I speak for us, and I know I do for me and Roos and probably everybody out there. Just glad you've gotten it worked out and have found kind of a way to move through it, because, you know, I remember when it first happened, and you and I talked in the press box, I think it was the SEC championship game. And you had told me, you said, first of all, you said, it sucks that I can't drive. That's really horrible. Yes. And you thought it was good then, and you've had a couple of incidents since then. And it's just really nice to know that you seem to have kind of settled into a routine and stuff that you can, you know, you can function and be as successful as you have been, you know, kind of since that. So really glad to hear that. Let's talk about college football smother and cover for a second, because what's the new, obviously it's not SEC anymore, it's college football. What's the new vision for that? What are you thinking here?
Well, you know, I say it every single show to start it off, that the college football is undercovered nationally. And I think part of it's because it's still sort of regional, you know, just in general, fans are kind of wired to be in the SEC or be in the Big Ten. That's what's so interesting now, is because I don't think that's going to be the case, because the national folks will focus on Big Ten and SEC, but it's still regional. And I always say, like, look, you know, you deserve more. You know, you don't need to hear a debate between Michael Jordan and LeBron James every other week. Like, nobody gives a shit. Right. So my vision is that, like, we all can provide, you know, you guys from a team level, you know, Pate, you know, Pakel, Staples, like all of us are, I think, because we are friends in general, part of like one giant group that people can go to. And like, hey, if you don't like my take on Georgia today, Andy might. And then maybe we, you know, you like my take the next day. But, you know, just even if we're not talking to each other on any given day, just check us all out, right? And let us, you know, let us all be part of a conversation that I think on Twitter, and it's kind of like on Twitter, right? On Twitter, everybody's vile and hates each other, but they still love college football, right? Sure. Take the vile and hate out of it, and you have a giant, like, that's all of us on a podcasting platform. So that's kind of what I want it to be, is just, you know, if you don't like it any given day, if you don't want to listen or watch, fine. If you want to, if you want to like Pate's topic, you see his headline, cool. Maybe you like mine the next day, but just enjoy all of it, because, you know, like I said, it's a very undercovered sport. And I think that, I do think that'll change nationally with the way things are going.
Yeah. Speaking of the way things are going, Barrett, you know, you're taking this kind of more, like you said, less regional approach, more national approach moving forward. I'm just curious, man, your vision of what's happening right now. Is it good for the sport? Is it bad for the sport? You hear a lot of people, especially we get it on the message boards a lot all the time, that say that it's, they're going to ruin this thing. I'm just curious as to the direction that you feel it's all headed, and is it a positive one?
Well, they're not going to ruin it. Like, college football can't be ruined. It can be changed, and it is being changed, but it can't be ruined. What I think is, and it's like Rob Manfred with baseball, right? It'd be great if the people who ran the sport actually liked the sport.
Yeah, sure.
Because I don't think they do. You know, I think, and I say this a lot, I think what they're doing now is making it the NFL. And I don't like the NFL. You know, I actually hate, like, the Falcons. That's about it.
Ah, yes.
And so, you know, I think what they're doing is they want it to look like that. They want to make more money, and, you know, money talks. I get that. But they're focusing on the playoff. I hate that the playoff became such a focus in the 4-team event. They're making it the only thing that matters now. And, you know, yeah, people are going to love that. Casual fans are going to love that, because that's the only thing they care about in the NFL. It's all they talk about. I freaking loved when Utah made the Sugar Bowl twice. I loved when TCU went to the Rose Bowl. Like, those things are awesome, right? We always make fun of the Geno Smith September Heisman. That was freaking awesome. I love those things. I love Houston getting game day in mid-November. Like, that's so cool. And I don't know, like, that to me got ruined when the 4-team playoff happened, because those existed in the BCS era. And the biggest thing now that really bothers me is that all we hear about is meaningful and meaningless. And this is why the BCS era was good. Everything was meaningful. Everything, you know, to a degree, one way or the other, but you never heard meaningless, because it all mattered. And slowly but surely, they're just creating a sport where one thing and only one thing matters. And I hate that.
That Houston in November, I believe, was when we got the Lee Corso gold effort. And
that he threw correct. The
thing on. Yeah. That was Carl Lewis.
That was Sumlin's, Sumlin's last year.
I want to say it was right around year. There. Yeah. And I think Carl Lewis was the guest picker. And you know, Lee almost gave Kirk Herbstreit a heart attack on air. So, Barrett, we finish up with the same two questions for everybody. You know, mine is simple. If you're getting it, you know, listen, you've checked out, you're done, life is over, you're dead, you get to plan your own funeral, you get to, who gets to send you out? Who are you picking? Who's eulogizing Barrett Salee at his funeral?
Was my wife available, or is she?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Sure. Anybody dead or alive?
Yeah. Singer.
Super sappy. It'd be my wife, because she knows how much of an idiot I am, right? Like, other people do too, but like, I want her to tell the good stories, right? Not the, oh my gosh, I love them. Like, I want her to say, hey, one time Barrett was jumping off a rock and almost killed himself because he didn't actually jump; he just kind of walked off. Right. Like, those things need to be said. So, I know that's kind of lame, but it's the truth.
No, you're the first person that's ever said that. And I love hearing everybody's answer, because, I mean, we hear a lot of different stuff, man. I mean, you can, people I've never heard of to comedians to everybody. So, I mean, in a way, I'd want my wife to eulogize me as well, but she's not much on speaking like that, and I tend to think she might be a little too broken up. I hope so, anyway. Maybe not.
Maybe that's why I want her to talk. Maybe she wouldn't be broken up.
Yeah. So Barrett, my question for everybody is, you're a guy who's traveled extensively for your work. You've been around to a lot of places. I'm curious, what is the worst hotel room that Barrett Salee has ever stayed in?
Whoa. Tuscaloosa, Alabama. LSU. It was LSU, Alabama in 2019 when Trump was there. And the reason I got the bad hotel was because Trump was there. They had every hotel room booked. Like, whether it was Alabama fans or Secret Service, every hotel room was booked. And I ended up in this Baymont Suites on the first floor, which is a scary place to be on the first floor of a Baymont Suites at a sketchy Baymont Suites. And, I mean, I can't tell you how many illegal things were happening overnight. I can't tell you how many gunshots I heard. And I was like, and I was with my producer. She had the room next to me, and we have tons of expensive equipment in the back of the rental car, rental Suburban or whatever it was. And I was like, I might die. Like, I don't care that this roach is right sleeping right next to me on this pillow. I need this roach for protection because I might die.
I think you're the second person ever to bring up. I believe our first ever guest was Ross Dellinger, and I believe he said the same thing about Alabama.
I believe that's correct. It may have been the same Baymont Suites, in fact.
It may have been the same hotel. We may have found a little bit
more. It might have been the same day.
Yeah. We might have had a little bit of a consensus on the hotel, because I do believe he said Tuscaloosa as well. Barrett, we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. You guys go check out College Football Smothered and Covered. I'm sure it's awesome. I listen to Barrett all the time on XM. You guys, you're still on Sundays, right?
Still on Sundays, faking it my way through basketball. That'll be done here in a couple of weeks. So
still you and Luke get
to talk about football
again. You and Tom Luganville still doing it?
No, not during basketball season. It's me and the shooter, Pat Bradley.
Okay.
But Luke's will be back. He'll be back to annoy me soon.
I do like Pat. I like Pat a lot.
Pat's awesome. He's awesome. Guy.
Well, good deal, man. Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Barrett.
Thanks, y'all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great guest, my man Barrett Salee.
Excellent voice too. I got to give Barrett a lot of credit, man. I just a golden pipes on that guy.
There's somebody on XM College Sports Radio that sounds a little bit like him. And it always takes me like 30 seconds to make sure that wait a minute, is Barrett guest hosting something here? Like I wonder how that's going. Sure. So he does a great job on that show. And, like I said, go check out College Football Smothered and Covered. He's right. SEC Smothered and Covered was wildly popular. And I'm interested to see kind of how this new vision takes place, because Barrett is one of these guys I feel like in his career has really benefited from the regional aspect of it. And he's done such a great job covering the SEC and starting there. But as his career kind of path shows you, no matter your opinion of him, the next rung he finds on the ladder is usually up for a reason.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, speaking of new vision, I feel like I always have new vision after we jake off.
So yeah, me too. A lot of clarity.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Followed by some shame.
Listen, do we want to get into questions first, or can I talk about my court experience?
Oh, here? Let's do that. Actually, yeah. We can go back. I'm with that. We can revisit jaking off. I'm always down for that, but I am really intrigued. First off, I want to know what the hell landed you in traffic court. I bet I could guess.
Well, okay. So there's a story behind this. A few weeks ago, it was in February. I was, I get the wife and kids out in the morning. I get them out of the house because they leave pretty early. They leave by 6 a.m. to get to school. They're elementary kids. My wife teaches there. So all that stuff. And I was, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll finish my coffee. I'll, get ready and I'll go work out. And I was getting ready to go do that. My wife calls me. She goes, oh, no, I'm sorry. I get an email from OnStar. My wife's got OnStar on her car. And it's like the tire pressure on your GMC Acadia is low. And then 2 seconds later, my wife calls me. She goes, I said, yeah, your tire pressure is low. And she goes, what? And I said, yeah. And she goes, how did you know? And I was like, I get these, and something we've talked about like five times. So her tire pressure was getting low. And, so she's like, yeah, it's getting low, but it's like not really moving while I'm driving. So I'm like, okay, well maybe it's just one of those things you need to put some air in it. So I waited, like an hour or so. Then I drove for school, checked her tire pressure. It was getting lower. So I was like, hey, listen, We bought the tires from Costco. If there's a nail in it, they'll fix it. If not, we'll get them to put a new one on or figure out the problem. Well, Costco's not open yet, but I just grab a car. I go to the gym. I work out. And in Athens, right where about where Marcus Rosemy Jack Saint got like an 85 and a 40, I was coming down that hill and I was just looking at the tire pressure gauge because it was starting to get down there to like 24, 23 to where I was worried if I was going to be able to make it.
Where is this? What is the, I don't,
this is between, it's between Beechwood and the Fork, to go 316 Atlanta Highway.
Oh, okay.
Right,
okay.
Kind of where the old racetrack is. There's a sharp downhill right there.
Oh yeah, I know exactly.
I'm looking at, you know, over there where I used to live. Yep. I'm looking at the tire pressure. Like it had just dropped from like 25 to 24 to 23 while I'm driving it. And I'm like, hey, I may have to pull over if this gets below 20. And so I'm just looking at that. I'm not doing anything else. No foot on the gas, no foot on the brakes. I guess there should have been one on the brakes. Pull through, stop at the red light. The air pressure ticks up. I'm late pulling off of the red light because I'm like, you know, whatever. All of a sudden I see lights and I said, oh man, I was late pulling off that red light. He probably thinks I'm texting and driving or something. I'll have to explain this to him. And he said, sorry, I got you going 62 and a 40. And I'm like, oh Jesus. I mean, I had no idea. If he would have asked me to like be within 3 miles an hour, how fast I was going for some money, he could have got me.
Yeah.
So that landed me in traffic court because I kind of wanted to, at least a chance to kind of plead my case. I was able to do that. I talked to the prosecutor, got a little bit of relief off of that. You know, helpful, but dude, I saw there were two things today in traffic court that got me. Number one was the odor. There were a lot of folks there that needed to mellow themselves out this morning. Mondays, they had the Monday scaries a little bit. A lot of folks burnt the ritualistic flower this sure. morning before coming in to court. It would hit you in waves. Somebody new would come sit beside you and be like, whoa.
Which is so, like, that is dude. So wild to me that, like, yeah. Do whatever you want, I guess, at your own home. That's fine. But if you're going to go to court, don't come in stinking like weed, man. That's a bad look.
Yeah, the cannabis, dude. It was 420. They celebrated 420 this morning, I guess. So that was one thing. And another thing was this young lady got up before a judge. It kills me. But bless her heart. She had the best attitude. I got to give her all the credit in the world. She got before the judge and the judge was like, you know, they got her. She had gotten a DUI and the judge is like, it's arraignment. And I'm not even really in that. I'm sitting in the same room, but I don't have to talk to the judge. And she's like, I got a DUI, but I was only smoking weed. That's all I was doing was smoking weed. And the judge goes, whoa, you just made an admission on the record in court that you were like, you can't even like, you're really going to have a tough time challenging this now. So I can't give you any legal advice, but don't say that.
Yeah, sure.
And then bless her heart, at the end of the judge's thing, the judge said, hold on just a second. She starts looking at different papers. She goes, ma'am, I need you to step right over here because I think this is a probation violation.
Oh,
and all of a sudden, bailiff just goes over there and grabs a box and opens it up and comes out with some handcuffs that look like they've been used in like the 40s.
Oh, God.
And gives her the ankle cuffs and the hands and chains it all together around. I'm like, man. And she's like,
what are you going to give her the ankle cuffs for, man?
I know. As he's walking her out of the courtroom, he's like, baby steps, girl, just slow down. Because she's like trying to walk fast. And she was like, oh, man. Like she had like the best attitude. Like if it was me, I'd have been cursing at everybody. I'd have been like, you guys, this is bullshit. You know, I'd have been throwing a fit. And she was just like, oh man, golly. She said, I'm glad I ain't got anywhere to be this afternoon.
I got a clear schedule. I can handle some ankle cuffs this morning.
The judge literally told her, she goes, listen, darling, we're going to go ahead and extend, give you a continuance for 45 days out. And we're going to give you some time to get out of jail and find a lawyer. Unbelievable.
Well, they should just make it. That could be a whole reality show in and of itself, man.
Well, I'll say this: if you're listening, you've got kids, and you've got a kid that's going to be driving anytime where you can remember this. When they get about 15 years old and get their learner's permit, get defensive driving, do all that stuff. I'm not saying don't do it, but if you want something that will practically teach them how to drive defensively, go sit them and just make them sit through a round of traffic court. Sure. And listen to the things that, you know, that like all the different traps and weird things that happen to people and stuff like that, because there is a lot of it.
Damn. I knew it was speeding though. You got a lead foot, man.
Well, that was my first non-camera speeding ticket in like 7 years.
How many have you had total in your life?
Total?
Yeah.
I mean, right. I had a lot when I was younger, but yeah. I would say I'm probably 10 or 11.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, all it's right. Not outrageous. All right. But no, I'd say if you count the camera tickets, I've had 2 or 3 of those. And if you count those, I've had probably 7.
Palmer.
11. Sorry.
Palmer, you ever had a traffic ticket?
You're muted, Palmer. How are you gonna bring yourself on the show and then mute yourself?
I put him on because he was eating a cheese stick. You're muted, Palmer. He doesn't know how to do it. All right, Papaw's back on the internet.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can figure that out. I knock on wood, man. I've only had a couple in my life. Really just one. I got one in a school zone at Winder Barrow High School when I was working there.
Yeah,
I did.
It's not hard over that way either.
And it was like, and it's one of those like where it switches real fast, yeah. You know? And I was like, man, come on. Like, I'm a substitute teacher. Like, help me out here. But it was like $200.
And you get out of, you over there, you get out of slow. Like you get out of like downtown Winder or whatever, and then you kind of get a chance to speed up a little bit. And by the time you get a chance to speed up a little bit, you're having to slow back down because of the school zone, which is crappy. So listen, you asking me how many speeding tickets I have leads really well into my question for you today.
All right.
So I was thinking about this the other day. My brain is so stupid. I was pumping gas and my kids were in the car. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, I wonder how many times in my life my parents pumped gas with me in the car. And then I got to thinking about the universal stat sheet, right? Like how many times have I ever said the word damn, or how many times have I peed outside or something like that? You know, just weird stuff. Does that thought ever, I know it's such a stupid question to ask, but does like the universal stat sheet ever pop into your head? And if it does, what would you want to know? Like if you could say, you know, God or you know, universal statistician, the Schwab of the universe, hey, I need to know how many times I've done this or how many times this has happened to me in my entire life.
So yes, I do think about this. And it's funny, as soon as when you started talking about it, an example came to mind. It was something that dawned on me one day. I was calling Papa's Pizza in McKaysville. And I was like, this has to be one of the top 10 numbers I've dialed in my life. Like, no question. Outside of my family, there's no restaurant that I've ever called as much as Papa's Pizza. It's 100%. It's a slam dunk. It's not even close. I can't think of anything else. So the one I would like to know, just because we tried to calculate this one time for 1 year. But I'd be interested in, I would love to see, to know the number, how many beers that I've drank over.
Oh yeah.
That would be probably a staggering number is what I would estimate if I were just kind of reaching out there. That would.
Yeah. It's so hard to judge. Like it's so hard to like get a read on it.
No, sure. Sure. Yeah. I mean, you got to think like there's like points of time, right? It's like, and there's ebbs and flows and like sometimes, you know, sometimes you spend 3 years in a haze and then, you know, sometimes you clean it up for a couple of months. So, I mean, you know, I would be very.
Sometimes you catch the early flight home from San Diego. A couple of people jump out you like a damn magic show.
one of a line that every single time gets me in that movie, dude. Every single time.
Oh, it's so good. Old school. Old school is tremendous.
I think I cried the first time I saw that. When he did that line, I think I was weeping.
Yeah. I saw that one in movies. That one got me too. Nothing ever got me as bad though as watching. And the movie itself is one of my favorites, but it's not really beloved or anything like that. But Get Him to the Greek with Jonah Hill Russell Brand, the Jeffrey scene where Jonah Hill ends up having like a panic attack and he stabs him in the heart with the EpiPen and he gets up. I mean, I went to one knee in the movie theater. I think I was at the Dollar Theater and I was just like, and my wife was like, "Are you going to die?" And I was like, I might. They had just warmed me up and I just went all at one time there. I mean, it just lost it.
There are a few things in life also, and for the people who have never seen it, more pure than when Jake Rowe really gets laughed. It's like newborn lambs are not as pure as Jake Rowe's laughter when he really finds something funny.
The mew of a newborn lamb.
So you were in traffic court this morning and I was out doing something that I didn't care to be doing either. It was time for me to go to the laundromat and wash my comforter. One of the chores in this world that I do not care for in the least. I don't like doing laundry anyway, but I hate having to drag out to the laundromat and do the whole thing. You know, it's just a pain in the ass. So I'm curious though, it came to my mind, of your household chores, the things that you got to do around the house, which is your least favorite?
What do
you
hate the most? Easy. This is unloading the dishwasher.
Loading the dishwasher?
Unloading
the dishwasher. Unloading. Oh, yeah. I will let the dish. See, now I'm not married. I live by myself, so I get to just leave that shit in there until it's time to load the next load in. And nobody's going to tell me otherwise. So, but I can understand where you're coming from.
Well, it's the nature of dishwashers these days. Like, I have to take just about everything that's in there and flip it over because almost everything has like a little bit of something, little cuppage on top. And so I got to flip all that over. If there's any Tupperware in there, you got to sit that in the dish strainer automatically. Sure. It's just, they're so half-assed now. Like they're not as good as they used to be. I used the Jet Dry and the Cascades version of the Jet Dry. I've tried vinegar. I've tried everything and nothing. Let me tell you something, buddy. There are these Tylenol syringes that when you need to give your kids some Tylenol, and they have an indention. It's like a yellow two-piece thing. Yellow thing goes into the syringe. Big end goes into the little end. You know, if you don't understand, I'll get Tommy to come back there and hit him on the head with a tack hammer. But sometimes those things flip over, and there's a giant cup in there. And I swear to God, this thing that's about this big holds a half gallon of water.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
If it spills on the floor, you're just like, seven paper towels may clean it up. Like, yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's unbelievable. It drives me nuts. And here's another reason I hate doing the dishwasher. So I leave cabinets open. And so I'll start just unloading the dishwasher. I'll leave a cabinet open. I'll hit my head on it. And for a split second, I'll turn around and I want to curse somebody out for leaving that cabinet open. And I'm like, that was my fault.
The villain was me all along.
Yeah. The village idiot is me. Palmer said his is folding laundry. That is actually,
I get that. I can sympathize.
I actually enjoy folding the laundry.
I have a harder time. My thing is the folding the laundry, I don't mind so much. I hate putting the laundry away.
Yeah. Okay. I really do. I am bad about leaving a stack of folded laundry on top of the dryer.
Yeah. Especially like I realized that the other day that no one had been in my guest room for a while. And I was like, this could be, maybe I'll just put the clothes over here. And then there were about, you know, six loads of laundry in the guest room laying on the bed. So
also looking behind you right now, another one of my least favorite things to do is when I look into the microwave and I'm like, it's time. The microwave needs cleaning. Because
do you not have that little thing? They say the thing is like, it's like it sprays the vinegar and.
No. I don't have one of those.
I just prefer to suffer.
Yeah, the thing is like if there's like particles in there, if you've got a kid that's just gotten to the point where they can reach the microwave, you know, they've thrown some spaghetti or something in there and they hadn't covered it. And, you know, then it's, I hate it. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
But washing dishes by hand, I'm okay with, as long as there's not a ton of them. Folding laundry, vacuum. I'll tell you another thing, underrated, sucky thing to have to do. If you've got carpeted stairs in your house and you have to vacuum the carpeted stairs, that'll make you want to murder somebody.
Sure. Sure. I've never been rich enough for stairs. but you are a mow the grass guy, right? Like you do.
Oh yeah. I love mowing grass.
In fact, you mow your neighbor's grass, I believe. Right?
I used to I used to live next to a guy who was who was blind, and his wife was deaf. And that's how they met each other. They had attended a school of some sort, kind of growing up, that was for, you know, people with disabilities. And he wasn't completely blind then. He was going blind. That's how they met. But he's blind, but he's also a mechanic.
Yeah, you've told me about this guy.
He's a mechanic.
Which is incredible.
His name's Jason. And this guy, like, for me cutting his grass, he was like, man, I owe you. So what can, he goes, so if there's anything I can ever do, you let me know. So my alternator went out on my truck one time years back, and I thought it was the battery, and it wasn't. And I went over and I knocked on the door. I said, hey man, you know, I think my alternator went out. You know, do you have any connections on, you know, how to, you know, get a good deal on the alternator or whatever, just trying to pinch every penny I can. He goes, well, not only that, he goes, I do get a 20% discount at O'Reilly, because I've been with them for so long. But what I'll also do is I'll put it in for you. And I'm like, this man's blind. You know,
like, sure.
I mean, sure. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That dude, he did it all by feel. Put my alternator in, can't see a dang thing. So
that's sick, dude. I wouldn't, if you with corrective lenses in, as I wear, if you open the hood and said, please replace the alternator, I would have 0% chance of doing anything correct. So
yeah, that's unbelievable. All I can do is tell you what it looks like. I go, yeah,
I do not know.
Yeah, that's about all I got for you. But hey, I'm excited about next week's Bark After Dark.
Well, let's not tease it just yet, because we had to reschedule this week's. So
well, we never maybe know we, yeah, we did. We were supposed to have Mark Weiser on this week, and Mark had some conflicts, so he wasn't able to come on. You know, I think Mark is actually actively trying to get out of a felony, is why he couldn't. Assault battery. Yeah. I'm told he just kicked the kid's ass downtown the other day, just wore him out. No, Mark just couldn't come on. He had a little bit of a conflict, and Mark's clean legal record.
We will have him on.
Yeah, sure. We absolutely will have Mark Weiser on. You want to talk about underrated? Mark Weiser is totally underrated.
Absolutely.
But I'm excited about our guest that is scheduled to be on next week, and we'll tell you if we don't get our guest that's on next week, but he seemed to be excited to be joining us as well. So
yeah,
we're fired up about that. And for this episode of Bark After Dark, Jake Roos, let's let him go. You're free to go, people.
Oof, oof.
Oh.